8 o'clock hour here on DFW Sports Station. Sean Trefart, Jay Choppy, Cowboys Insider Bobby Belt. We got Pepe and Carter in the back live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. And hopefully you have not changed the radio station since the NFL coaching carousel got started. We have all the updates for you as we were waiting to see Mike McCarthy's replacement. And the big domino fell yesterday with Ben Johnson getting hired in Chicago. But let's focus on some other teams that actually matter when it comes to winning championships and contending. RJ Choppy's NFL overreactions or not.
All right, let's get to it. The Detroit Lions, with the departure of Ben Johnson now and probably Aaron Glenn, have missed their window.
So this is a great question about... Well, I'm making a different question, so it's great. what's going to happen at... I feel a little bad and weird saying this. I'm taking this back to when Campbell was first hired. Like, oh my God, they got the caveman. There is a thought that like Dan Campbell's losing his smart guys in the room. So how is Dan going to go ahead and replace the whiz kid? No one's going to give Dan Campbell the credit for hiring Ben Johnson, having Aaron Glenn.
Well, he held over Ben Johnson.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, Ben. But they knew each other a little bit from Miami, but that was a Philbin endorsement. He had been in Detroit for a little while, and he told him to keep him.
Okay, so like, how much will Detroit fall off with Dan Campbell, who, you know, has his reputation and emotional, spiritual leader, without his X's and O's right-hand man and another supposed great leader in Aaron Glenn? Is Dan Campbell going to get exposed a little bit?
I don't think so. So I think it's an overreaction. Because I honestly...
Miss their window is an overreaction. I'm just asking about...
Regression?
Yeah.
They're going to regress. They're not going to win 15 games next year. That doesn't mean they regressed, right? I mean, they just...
I think they'll be as good of a team next year.
Yeah, they'll win 12
or something. The win total may not be the same, but they'll be as good.
Why will they be as good without Ben Johnson?
Because they're going to have 5,000 snaps that they lost to injury back next year. Like, to me, getting back all those guys from injury is more important than what they lose in Ben Johnson. And I think Ben Johnson's a good coach. I think we've way overblown Ben Johnson, I feel like at this point.
There were people that were talking, that saying, like...
Glad you're saying this late in the coaching cycle.
I think I've said for, like, a month that I don't think Ben Johnson's, like, any slam dunk to be a great head
coach.
That's
different than way overblown.
Well, because I think he's a good offensive coordinator. I don't think he's doing things that's just, like, you can't respond to Ben. He's the Mahomes of coordinators. I don't think that that's accurate.
Like, how much of these trick plays was Dan Campbell in on? And we don't know. We don't know. We have no idea. Yeah. You know, like, it would make sense that Dan has a, like, Dan's personality is like, sounds like he's just constantly like kind of thinking a thing. You know what I mean? His personality is like that. So I could see them still being good. And who are they going to get? Is they going to just promote Mark Brunell?
The league also has the...
Yesterday he said we have guys we feel good about promoting.
The league has like a pretty solid reputation for, we adjust to everything you do. So, like, Mike McDaniel had in 23, it was Mike McDaniel. Nobody had more creative run concepts than McDaniel, and they were going to be able to run the ball. And then this year, the Dolphins had the least efficient running game in the NFL this year. And it's like, the league will respond to you, and that's the Cliff Kingsbury disease. Does Cliff respond to what the league does to adjust to him?
Lions missed their window, overreaction.
All right, next one.
We all agree?
Yeah. Yes.
The Chiefs are going to three-peat.
Overreaction.
Explain it.
They're not very good. I mean, honestly, every game they play is like the one they played against Houston. It's not going to fly against Buffalo this weekend. Buffalo beats them by 2 touchdowns or more.
See, here's the thing with the Chiefs. Like, yeah, they don't look pretty when they do it.
I already see what's going through your head.
They're still how nice I want to be to your children. To your children's dinner.
Krista was so mad on Saturday.
Was she? Oh, yeah. You told her?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
About the bragging rights, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I would be stunned if they lose by 2 touchdowns at home.
Okay. That's not a hot take.
Yeah, like they still beat Houston by two scores. Like, we forget that.
It's not an overreaction. Here's what's setting up. And I'm gonna pick I want the Bills and I'm gonna pick the Bills. This is one of those championship moxie. All they have to do is beat Buffalo.
That's it.
In my opinion, I think Jalen Hurts, number one, was already compromised throwing, and I think he's physically compromised. And I would probably take the Chiefs over the Commanders. They got to figure out some way of a Kelce legendary game. Mahomes wake him back up. It's not an overreaction. I think the winner of the AFC title game wins the Super Bowl. I would feel much stronger about Buffalo in the Super Bowl than Kansas City, but it's not an overreaction. I feel like they got to gut one more out.
Yeah, I think it's not overreaction. I think they're going to win this game, and I think they'll win the Super Bowl. It's just
if you think they're going to win that game, then you need to. You never bet on the show. You always bet with the books.
What's my bet?
Well, why don't you bet Bobby something fun? He says two touchdowns. Get a spread. You think that the Chiefs are going to outright win? He's picking them to lose by 14. That seems to be a great opportunity for you.
Yeah, I mean that's fine. I mean we can come up with something.
I don't want to talk you into it.
Come up with something.
I mean you should be itching at it. That's like a golden opportunity.
Yeah.
I think you know Buffalo's better than Kansas City.
No, I want to hear what he says.
I know.
Buffalo is, like, are they better than Kansas? I mean, is their roster better? I don't know if their roster's better. I don't think their roster's better than Kansas City's.
Oh, I think their roster's better than Kansas City. I think their quarterback's better than Kansas City this year. Not overall.
Yeah, this year, he had a better year than Mahomes did, but he's not.
I'll figure something out with you. I'll figure something out with you. I don't think it's an overreaction that they three-peat. I'm not picking them to do it.
Next one. Washington winning was good for the Cowboys.
Overreaction. I don't think it phases them. That's really one of my most disappointing things. I was sleep deprived yesterday, and I just was spiraling on Twitter, going off on the Joneses. People keep saying, you know, why would the Joneses change? And I guess this is just not something my wife would call me naive. This is not something that clicks in their head like it clicks in mine. If I was one of Jerry's confidants or kids, I would say to him, Dad, like, let's turn around the legacy at the end. You started off amazing. You've gone through this awful period. Don't leave as a hated figure. Like, is it just enough for Jerry Jones to have a $10 billion team? Is Jerry told this by anyone close to him, or they all just kiss his rear end? Like, do you want to go out like that? You want to go out being the new Dan Snyder or the old Al Davis? And I don't know if it really affects him or that they care. When that Brian Schottenheimer stuff hit, like, I am a person who I don't give you any pass or excuse if you don't do what you can to at least try to improve or get better. For them not to have talked to Belichick or Ben Johnson, or at least not shown any interest when you have the greatest coach of all time and the hottest candidate in years, the term that keeps getting thrown at them, and it's hard to argue, is unserious. You appear unserious. You do. And even if Ben Johnson was never going to take it, you sit down and figure out, why is this guy so sought after? Why would this guy not want to work here? They're not open to any of that. They don't want to hear it, or they don't want to do it. Why would you not sit down with the greatest coach of all time and say, assess my organization? Have other people audit your situation. And they don't. It's disgusting. It's sickening and it's depressing. It is depressing because you feel like you're trapped in sports purgatory. So, no, I don't think. What's the way you phrased it?
Washington winning was good for the Cowboys. It was a good thing.
Overreaction. I don't think it matters.
Overreaction. It's good for Cowboys fans, I think, because I do think it annoys them. I think it annoys the Cowboys. It doesn't spur any action. I do think it annoys them. So if you want them to feel punishment, you want them to feel upset by what they've done, then it's good from that perspective for Cowboys fans. But in terms of it actually spurring action, no. If they would have brought McCarthy back, then I think it could have been something where now it puts they'd be moved more for action at the end of next year. But I don't think it actually. They had already separated from McCarthy. Changes have already kind of started, or to the extent that changes will exist with this team. So it's an overreaction.
All right, next one. What's your answer? I think it's an overreaction. Next one.
And think about that from a competitive standpoint. You in your life, that you're like your big foe, your competitor, your enemy takes it to another level, and they accomplish something big and great, or you know your friend from high school, a competitive, healthy jealousy. And it doesn't faze you whatsoever. It doesn't drive you to improve, sharpen your game, do something to get better in your profession, your life.
Do not covet. That whole coveting, that's one of those, what, the sixth? It's the sixth one, right?
I don't remember which number it is, but it's one of them.
Thy neighbor's
wife.
Good. Yeah. Well, that too. That too. Next one. Lamar will never win the big one.
Overreaction. I'm giving him a lot of major props for that final drive. He did have two awful turnovers. Two awful turnovers. But I think ultimately he'll be in a position and shot to win it. I'm not guaranteeing he wins one, so therefore it is not an overreaction.
Overreaction, if we get three more years into this, then we're going to have to start saying he's not going to win one. Because I do think that he's got a window with his athleticism before that starts slipping, yeah. And he's not the advantage that he once was. It's an overreaction for right now, but not much longer.
I don't know. I mean, they dominated that game. I mean, they had almost double yards per play of Buffalo.
But don't you always say it's a coin flip in the playoffs, that it's just kind of randomized? Oh, yeah. I mean, if he's going to be in position, then it's an overreaction. I mean,
another year they wasted that they were like arguably the best roster in the league.
Well, the Ravens, a true front office, they just reload.
They do.
They've done it for decades.
They do. Speaking of the Ravens, next. I don't necessarily think it's overrated, but how about this one? John Harbaugh chokes as a coach in the playoffs.
Ooh. Some of these numbers are not good. Barstool went and dug them up. I think they went from like since 2011, and the numbers are not good at all. Like, if this was here, we'd be going crazy. I don't know what they're doing in Baltimore radio, but John Harbaugh, how hot is that discussion? I think it should be pretty hot.
There was, they had like all these games against New England where they blew it. I mean, they had the Billy Cundiff missed field goal where he had a timeout left, didn't call it. They rushed him out there.
12-9 playoff record. And then they did it since like 2011. The postseason record 3-7. One and done in the playoffs. This is recent. One and done in the playoffs three more times. Made it to one conference title game despite 4 years in the top 10 in points, 5 seasons in the top 10 in yards, 8 seasons top 10 in points allowed, and 7 in the top 10 in yards allowed. Had the number one seed in the AFC twice, 1-2 in some of those playoffs. They had the possible MVP, 9 Pro Bowlers, number one offense, defense that led the league since midseason, and Justin Tucker.
Woo! It's an overreaction. 6, like we're talking about, he's been to the playoffs 12 times. He's 1-done 3 in his entire career. Like, I mean, a choker is going to be 1-done more than that. A choker doesn't go on that 4 straight playoff game victory run they did in 2012.
Okay, let's change it from choker to major underachiever.
Recently, yes. I still think, I mean, when you've got something on your ledger like 2012, what they did with the 10-6 team,
it's pretty hard to look at and say,
he's anything other than just a really good coach. I think he's been there's been some bad luck along the way. Mm-hmm. But I don't think back and reflect a bunch of different times and go like John Harbaugh's the reason for underperformance with them at times. Like I don't feel like he's to blame a ton of those times.
What's your answer?
I don't think he's a choker. Is he a little bit and overrated might be the wrong word. He's just an underachiever. You know, like again, Bobby's right. That 2012 title was really, really awesome. They got a little lucky along the way. They had to. You have to get lucky along the way. So, underachiever.
Some NFL overreactions or not from Ralph James Choppy. The Mavericks waste Kyrie. And all of our thoughts on the inauguration of President Trump 2.0. That's next on Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan.
LaMelo against Kyrie Irving. Around the screen for Mark Williams. Dishes it. Mark Williams soaring and scoring. Two-handed throwdown on the nice assist from LaMelo Ball, his 9th.
Hornets Radio with the call. Good morning, Metroplex. Below the belt, maybe your next Dallas Cowboys draft pick. We haven't talked any mock draft. Coming up at 8:40 on DFW Sports Station. What?
We should have played Hornets TV. Have you heard those announcers before?
No.
Holy cow, they're the worst, most like fan energetic. Like everything is LaMelo Ball. Oh my God. You know what a shot.
You know what would have been awesome?
What?
If you grabbed the audio.
It's Peyton's job.
Instead of just doing your impersonation, in a radio medium, that would have been awesome. Instead, talk about
theater of the mind, Sean.
How did they waste Kyrie?
Man, Kyrie was playing great. They wasted Kyrie Irving and they wasted Daniel Gafford in this game. Daniel Gafford played his ass off in this one. It was 32 points, what was it, 15 rebounds, 7 blocks. He was all over the place. And he had a big block down the stretch that, of course, like Charlotte scoops it right back up, extends the possession, makes a bucket. It felt like Dallas had 100, 102 points for like the last 5 minutes of this game. They couldn't get anything. They couldn't get a damn thing going on offense in the last 5 minutes. And that was before Kyrie goes on that run, puts up like 11 straight, knocks down 3 consecutive three-pointers, and it was like this building moment of, uh-oh, here's Kyrie, he's taking over, and then everything just goes silent in the last 5 minutes.
In their last two losses, Gafford's scored 58 points.
I love him.
That's a waste.
Don't trade him.
I don't think they're going to. I keep seeing these updates. No, not happening. But, you know, what is happening? The Mavs are... they're falling. They're 3-7 in their last 10. They're just a half game up on the Kings for the 8th spot. So they're number 7 in the West at 23-20. Let's go, Luka.
Doesn't it feel like this every year, though, or for like the last 4 years, that they get to January and we're like, okay, they need to make some sort of move, or they've got it. They're just kind of like middling right now. And then it's like, all right, they're either going to make a move and surge, or they're going to make a move and crumble.
I'm not panicking. I am panicking a little bit over the seeding because you don't want to be in the danger zone. But I'm staying the course right now. I'm not throwing out a lot of blame right now because of the injuries. Like, yeah, they struggled a little at the start. Bassick had them missing the playoffs after, you know, 4 games.
Bassick had them going 0-82. Yeah. Oh, what are we doing? This is the worst basketball team.
And then they stabilize. And I think they're in a position they don't have to make a major move. I know that that's boring. I know that that's not, you know, free agent trade deadline, Sean, which I'm obsessed with it in all the sports. I think you're all right. You just got to get healthy.
Clay bricked that 3 that would have tied it up late in the game. Would have gone down if it would have been with Luka. I sent you guys the numbers yesterday. He's shooting 40.6% with Luka in the lineup from 3. He's 34% from 3 when he's out of the lineup.
How many of those, sorry, real quick, do they know how many of those are corner 3s? That was like, that's one of the big things, right? The NBA, and Luka allows you to get those with his ability.
I think in general, corner or whatever, like, I think in general, he's just going to get freer, more open looks because of the way that Luka penetrates.
LaMelo, of course, on the other side with 23-9-7. And is his brother in the NFL news?
Well, yeah, Jello, because the Jello curse. Cameron went off on him on social media. I can't remember who they sent the audio cup. Man,
stop chewing your cuticles and your nails.
You know what it is? It's coffee grounds. Whoever made this pot of coffee,
better than mold.
Better than mold. We have mold in the coffee pot here. Okay, we got a problem here.
Gross.
Okay?
Oh,
that's why everybody getting sick around here. We got mold in the coffee pot, but there's coffee grounds in it. And it's just, you know, it's getting stuck in my uvula. That ball in the back of your throat.
Do you ever clean out that coffee pot, Pepe?
Yeah, I rinse it out. Okay. I rinse it out, but there's 4 in there, and I taught Jake just, you know, a couple hours ago how to make coffee. So maybe Jake messed it up.
Jake didn't use a filter. Could you imagine?
Jake just thought it was water when he saw that brown stuff in the chat.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
All right, that's joke of the week.
Yeah.
That's joke of the week.
I don't remember what I was talking about.
Cameron!
Oh, yeah.
You're focused today. Holy crap.
No. We
changed subjects. One inauguration, and you're just in the clouds.
We changed subjects, and it moves on. He had a little bit of a message for the Detroit Lions because they went and got Jello.
Dan Campbell, do not start that crying. You need a Jared Goff. It's the way it goes. Y'all was feeling yourself, and I had y'all back all season, and you know what fucked up everything? Y'all let Jello Ball perform at halftime. What the fuck was that about? Y'all could have had Eminem. Y'all could have had Big Sean. Y'all niggas fucked it all up. And this is the result of it. This is the result of it. Sorry.
But how are you not going to have Eminem for play? Eminem, you're the one seed. You're not going to have Eminem perform.
This was at halftime?
I think it was before the game. He said
Eminem's too big to be performing like out in the West Plaza.
This was on the field. This is on the field. Because remember, he's the hype song. Because Amon-Ra St. Brown had been playing his new single. And so it's like, Tweaker. this is the new...
Amon-Ra has a single?
No, Amon-Ra was playing LiAngelo Ball's. Jello. And so they were like, oh, this is the new... this is like our Creed, higher. And they can't get Eminem. Did you see what Lil Pump said about Eminem yesterday? No. I said it to Choppy. Lil Pump goes, how do you feel, buddy? Kamala lost, the Lions lost, and you lost in life.
A segue to the inauguration. As I said, I went home and kept it on pretty much all day long.
Yeah, I had it for quite a while. Until about, I guess until he left the MCI Center or whatever they call it
the
now.
The 14th stop.
Man, I gotta say, like, I love the pomp and circumstance of this.
That was a lot of things.
And being president sounds like it'd be really cool. But on day one, they parade you around like a pony.
Yeah.
I mean, he starts
pink pony
at the, obviously at the inauguration, and he gives his speech. Very awkward, by the way. All the people he's killing are sitting right next to him.
Yeah, let's get into that. So if you're watching on TV, you got Elon and Zuckerberg. Let's start with Zuckerberg. Zuckerberg getting caught peeking at Bezos's girl.
Lauren Sanchez.
That's maybe the number one thing of the day. I mean, Zuckerberg with the most obvious peek.
Oh, and you get all the Seinfeld get a good look Costanza memes
out
there.
Yes. And then on the right side, you got all the Democrats and you got Biden and Kamala up front. Then you got the Clintons and you got Dana White sitting behind them. When he announced it was going to be the Gulf of America, Hillary starts laughing. George Bush was. This guy, how can you not smile when you see this guy? They had the memes of him taking, you know, a gummy. This is what happens
when the edible hits kicks in.
He was sitting there bebopping on the chair. I was just watching him because he's so happy, so pleasant. You know, Hillary and Bill, they saw a ghost. And then watching the Democrats decide when not to stand up over all the announcements and the cheers. And Trump's just sitting up there killing. I was like, is this the way it always is? Or do we just do like a swear-in? Or does everyone make like a big major speech?
Oh, there's an inaugural speech that you make right there. And it's, you know, you're
probably
your
not
message.
As like negative towards the previous regime.
Well, it's, you know, that speech that he gave was, obviously, it was his most tame. Because then he went downstairs and he spoke to the, like, basically the Republicans, like Governor Abbott was there. And that was more like Trumpy. And then he goes to the MCI Center, whatever they call it now. And that's where he really kind of goes into, because now he's talking to his people. And this was like the college football coach that's in front of the boosters that gets a little bit loose.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's being paraded around. I mean, you got the old guard, the guys dressed like British troops, the redcoats out there doing their little band dance.
And he walks on stage with a binder. As he is going to sign all the executive orders in front of
the
crowd.
These are all the orders, folks. Okay, we're gonna change everything right now.
Yeah, pardons flying left and right. I can't keep track of the pardons. Biden's pardons, and then was it 1,500 from Trump last night? All his pardons, January 6th. May have just been 1,500 people from January 6th.
It was January 6th people he pardoned.
Yes.
And so, yeah, he was just signature after signature, just item after item.
So day one, inauguration. Day two, carpal tunnel surgery.
Mm-hmm.
I know. So the amount of things, now, there's always an argument. What can actually be done? What is actually going to be done? This was rare, right? To be doing this many things on the first day?
Usually you'll have a bunch of executive orders that you sign on the first day.
Okay.
You know, like one, so one of them was a cancellation of a bunch of Biden executive orders. Now, they didn't say which ones they were.
Yeah.
It wasn't all of them, but he just canceled them. And then, you know, they had these, like, Sharpie markers.
Yeah.
And his signature, man, it takes so long for him to sign a single thing because it's, like, it's such a, like, elaborate signature. I've never seen anything like it. And it just takes so long. And then he's, like, just throwing the pens into the crowd. And then you see a photo of him on his desk after. And there were, had to be 100 books of things to sign, of like executive orders to sign and what they were.
I have seen a signature because there's a poster at my dad's house that has a signature on it.
Oh,
but looking at this, it looks like the Neiman Marcus logo.
I've never seen it.
Look at this. That does not look like Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah, it does look like Neiman Marcus.
I have no idea what he, that I don't know how that's Donald Trump. That looks wild.
And then you have Elon. People are like, did he do the sign? What was that?
Elon may or may not have gone full on Goebbels there. I don't know what that was. Now, the Anti-Defamation League said he didn't.
What is this? I feel like my kid watches that movie. Minions? The Anti-Defamation League? Is there that's a real thing?
That's a real thing, right?
Okay. No, ADL, yeah. They are a
text big, me if you get the Minions reference, parents of toddlers.
They are a big, they do a bunch of stuff with anti-Semitism and different things like that. In fact, they say that they work to protect democracy and ensure a just and inclusive society for all. That's their whole thrust.
So it was, I mean... I love the inauguration. I love everything about when America goes full on pomp and circumstance. It's cool.
How about Carrie Underwood? The music did not, Bobby. You would have appreciated this part. I know you said you weren't going to watch.
I definitely
a second.
Appreciate Carrie Underwood.
The music does not come on and play, and she's like, "Screw it, I'll just sing it." And she proved she can sing.
She did.
I wonder how many people in that moment would have butchered it or just wouldn't even have started because they would not have wanted to get exposed. And she sang it.
Is that just the American Idol background, though? Like, she had to do that
so much.
Yeah. I would think it's from her. She's for years had to do, a cappella stuff and different things throughout competition.
And then you're talking about a possible releasing of the tapes?
Oh, the tapes, baby. He said yesterday, in his speech, or one of his speeches, that all the news is going to come out about assassinations.
As a first step toward restoring transparency and accountability to government, we will also reverse the overclassification of government documents. And in the coming days, we are going to make public remaining records relating to the assassinations of President John F. Kennedy, his brother Robert Kennedy, as well as Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and other topics of great public interest. It's all going to be released, Uncle Sam.
I love this. Now, he said he was going to do this last time. Oh. He said he was going to release JFK last time, and then Mike Pompeo begged him not to. It's been over 60 years. Everyone's dead. It's time to release him. And he said that he now said that's like one of the first things he's going to do. I cannot wait. You will not hear from me for hours. When I dive into this JFK stuff. If they do it.
I hope they do. Oh, that would be amazing.
Or they're going to release it all, and then everybody's going to be like, oh, this is just exactly what it said it was. And then Michael Lombardi will have nothing to do except for actually focus on UNC football players.
But people fight about what actually it
is. That's right. They do.
All right. We have not done this. I can't remember the last time we have, but while some of the coaching carousels toned down a little bit, Bobby Belt, on the Dallas Cowboys first round draft pick. Let's take a look inside the latest mock on the home of the Cowboys and below the belt, 105.3 The Fan. The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
My belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
What if one of the best players in the draft fell to the Cowboys at 12 and they said, no, thanks.
It'd be just like their coaching search.
Yeah, that's exactly what it'd be like. Let's talk about it here in Below the Belt. Dane Brugler, fairly competent individual when it comes to draft analysis and things of the sort. He put out a 2-round mock draft. And Dane is, I think it's important to basically describe this aspect of Dane, because I don't know that a lot of people understand this. They think Dane just watches tape and Dane's an evaluator and that's all Dane is. Dane is also a very, naturally because of what he does, a very plugged in individual with front offices and scouting directors and general managers. So he does have a good sense of, even if I like somebody, I know the league doesn't, and this is kind of going to be where they're going to go, and I'm going to project them up here, even if that's not where I would take them, and different things like that. So this is a pretty good representation, too, of probably stuff he's hearing around the league, not just who he likes. And I think it's important once we get through the top five. I hope you're listening, Will Chambers. So this is the 2-round mock draft from Dane Brugler. And we'll get through some of the bigger picks, and then we'll just kind of hit the Cowboys specifically. The number one pick of the draft would be the Tennessee Titans selecting Cam Ward, quarterback from Miami,
Cam Ward is the one. A lot of people were asking what the celebration was over the weekend. Am I doing it correctly? I don't know.
Is this
like a sock puppet? Peyton, are
no,
you?
No, he like puts it up to his nose and he like waves it like this. Okay. Like on the fan. I don't know what it is, but
Is it the?
Yeah.
Oh, it's the Little Rascals.
Okay.
It's the Little Rascals wave. That's what that
Little
is.
Little Rascals,
right?
Like from when we were kids?
I don't think Cam Ward is doing a 1950s
No, the 1990s movie. Like that movie, like that yeah. one, they do that. Yeah, they do Spanky in them. They do that wave. Okay. If that's what he's doing,
okay.
I don't know, but I mean that's what I know it from was that was Little Rascals. But no, not the 1930s, the 50s. That's even generous.
The this Cam was, Ward Celly. I don't know if that's Celebration.
By the way, I hate yeah. Celly as I hate that people are calling Celebration Cellies now.
That's you're usually that's it's on the Celly.
Someone with street cred and cool. Let us know.
Yeah, give us a shout. So Cam Ward to the Tennessee Titans as the number one pick, not Shedeur Sanders. And when you go down the list, it's going to be a little while before Shedeur Sanders. I think this is setting up for potentially a Kenny Pickett draft. Or where you get like a maybe one of these quarterbacks goes really high and then somebody drops, or maybe neither of the quarterbacks gets taken as high as you initially think. And then we're kind of sitting around going, all right, where's a quarterback coming from? Because number two, Cleveland Browns, Abdul Carter. And if there's
Micah,
if there's an organization where Dane's going to have a good sense of things, it's also going to be the Browns. That's an organization that he's been really tied
to. No quarterback.
No quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. And he even mentions it here. It's likely Deshaun Watson has played his final snap for the Cleveland Browns. So quarterback could be in play here. But he said instead they go with Abdul Carter, who he thinks they look at as that's how our defense is or how our offense is going to be able to block Myles Garrett and Abdul Carter from Penn State, which everybody saw him in the playoffs. He's ridiculous the way he gets to the quarterback.
I mean, cool. Go ahead. Like that's a poverty franchise.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a quarterback. And if you don't have a quarterback, your
who would you draft?
Find one.
Who would you draft?
You would draft Shedeur.
Shedeur, I guess.
Just cause.
Yeah.
Instead of getting if I tell you there are going to be 40 players in this draft better than him.
You can't.
Can't.
That's the thing. You can't.
The likelihood is I can tell you that there are going to be at least most teams feel like the likelihood is there are 30 players.
Most teams are really bad at this. And
that's not accurate. That most of the best players in the NFL are first round picks. That's just a lie. It's just a lie. Okay. I know first you can stutter round, through fine. It. It's just a lie. It's not true that they're most of the players taken in the first round are the best players in the
but
NFL.
But is Shedeur a first rounder?
In terms of like just naturally, will he be graded by he will not be graded as a first rounder by most teams in the NFL. He may be taken there. He won't be graded that way.
Okay.
You still have to take the chance. It's better to swing and miss on a quarterback. Then swing and miss on a non-quarterback. And just go back to what was the Chase Young draft?
2000 or 2019.
All right. So let's go back
to 2020 or 2019.
2020. All right. So let's go back to the 2020 draft. The Commanders take Chase Young, right? They take Chase Young with, the second pick in the draft. Herbert and Tua are on the board. Chase Young was the can't-miss player of the draft. Everybody agreed on that. He was the can't-miss player. Guess what? He missed.
He got hurt. He was not a bad player. He got hurt.
Okay, but still, he missed.
But not because
Jeff Okuda was the third
pick. Not because of his talent. The evaluation was not a miss. The evaluation was he was a good player who got hurt.
You evaluate play. Yeah, your evaluation can be wrong. And they evaluated him as better than Justin Herbert. And that's why they took him over Justin Herbert. And it was the wrong decision. Like, and now again,
well, no, the other issue with what they went through was you had at that time, who was their quarterback
was
in
Alex
19?
Smith, probably.
I'm trying to remember who their quarterback was there. No, it was that they drafted Dwayne Haskins the year before. They had already taken a guy who was the first round quarterback. So they did take a gamble. Number three pick of the draft in this situation would be the New York Giants taking Travis Hunter. They walk away with the best player in the draft in this situation and likely going to be as. Dane said everybody he's reached out
to. And you would say the same thing to them, right, Choppy? I don't want to start another fight here, but if you were the Giants, you're taking Shedeur if Cleveland passes.
Yeah, I mean, again, I'm taking him. What are you going to do? What good is Travis Hunter?
Well, you can get a quarterback the next year.
Travis Hunter's going to play corner if he goes to New York. He would play corner with some receiver snaps, but he would not be a full-time receiver, I don't think. So, and that's where most of the league apparently views Travis Hunter right now is your corner who can play some receiver. You're not going to be a full-time receiver. Number four, Tetteroa McMillan, who is the third best player in the draft to me, receiver out of Arizona, goes to the New England Patriots to pair with Drake May. Number five, the Jacksonville Jaguars take Will Johnson, the cornerback from Michigan, who a lot of people really had. Broaddus is not. Broaddus has him graded as a second-round player. He doesn't think he's as good as everybody else does.
And where does he have Hunter?
He has Hunter as a receiver. He thinks that Travis Hunter is a receiver, and I think that's... He's right near the top of his best player in the draft, if not his best player. I know he's his best receiver.
I thought you said he wasn't as high on Hunter, that no. He didn't deserve to be on that all-college team.
No, Hunter, he doesn't think Hunter's a great corner.
Yeah.
He thinks Hunter is a great receiver.
Okay.
So he would actually flip them from the rest of the league. And then number six, the Las Vegas Raiders get one Shedeur Sanders, quarterback, Colorado. And he said there are a ton of mixed opinions in the league about Sanders. It'll be interesting to see how or if that changes throughout the draft process once coaches get involved. But with Mark Davis and Tom Brady heavily influencing this pick, I'm not sure the Raiders could pass on Sanders, although hopefully the new head coach and general manager will have a say in that decision. So then we go down the list. A couple other teams get there. Jets, Panthers. They take Mason Graham from Michigan, defensive tackle, who, by the way, I think there's a decent chance that a Michigan defensive tackle ends up here in Dallas.
Oh boy.
It's not impossible.
Boy.
And I think
at that high?
At 12, yeah. Either if Mason Graham fell to them, that would be a fall. Mason Graham would definitely be near the top. And then I think Kenneth Grant from Michigan, the other defensive tackle, he would also be in contention there, which I saw. I don't think I've ever seen a big man move as fast as I saw Kenneth Grant from Michigan run when he was doing 40 training last week when I was out there. That's why I was out at Exos
right
on Monday.
With the freak y'all told me Mozzie was.
Oh, it's a, I need to film him running the 40 and show you because it's going to stun
there.
You. It's
I'll be there in Indy.
There you go. Exactly. During his training, though, it's stunning to see a big guy move as fast as he does. You get down the list a little bit, and when you get to number 12, and the Dallas Cowboys.
This is from Dane Brugler.
There are a couple of really intriguing options on the board. The universal number one offensive lineman heading into this season, and still for most people, I think the number one offensive lineman, Will Campbell from LSU, who people think could be tackle or guard, just kind of depends. Will Campbell's on the board. Ashton Jeanty is on the board, the running back. If you're not totally sure about what you're seeing from... if you're not totally sure what you're seeing from Jake Ferguson recently, Tyler Warren, that Penn State tight end that everybody's been in love with. Tyler Warren's on the board. James Pierce, the Tennessee edge rusher, super high upside. He's on the board. Cowboys pass on all of them, including Ashton Jeanty, the local kid. And the Cowboys go with Luther Burden III, wide receiver from Missouri in this situation. He says the Cowboys have to find more answers in the passing game outside of CeeDee Lamb. Burden is an explosive threat at all three levels, but does his best work with the ball in his hands, becoming a running back after the catch. And this is what's terrifying to me about how the Cowboys might look at things, is that Burden, I think, is absolutely going to be in play here. And I like Luther Burden. I think he's a good player. The problem is that whenever you're telling me the top trait of any receiver coming out of college is look what they do after the catch, I'm always like, that has not consistently translated enough for me from college to the NFL to feel like, oh, you get the ball in his hands, he'll do something.
Yeah.
Tavon Austin, Peter Warwick. Like even who was it? I cannot remember who it was last year. The Western Michigan receiver was there was a guy like that.
Was CD not thought like he had that?
CD was supposed to be similar, and I don't think CD is the big after the catch guy that he was supposed to be. But that was supposed to be his top trait was, oh, you get the ball in his hands and he'll just do something. The guys
got bad tacklers in college.
Debo Samuel and athletes just aren't the same as what you are at that level. Debo Samuel is one of the only ones who you've said that's an after the catch guy who when he got
Treadwell.
To the NFL, he became that. Yeah. I mean, so when you get guys like that, who it's like, ooh, the physicality, how are you going to bring them down? They're so good in space. That's an issue.
And that would be with Jeanty left on the board. And recently, once again, he talked about maybe wanting to come back home.
I would love to play for the Cowboys. It'd be like a dream come true. Obviously, I used to play in their practice stadium in all our home games in high school. Even my freshman year, when we came down here for the Frisco Bowl, we practiced in there again. So it would just feel like I'm at home, honestly. And, you know, I ain't going to say too much, but, you know, Dallas, they've always had a good running back. And when they got a good running back, they play a lot better. You know what I'm saying?
Look at that. And the Cowboys in this two-round mock draft, they get a pretty good running back. And do you feel any better about the setup of saying, well, go get a receiver, a weapon pair, where Dane Brugler in the second round gives them Travion Henderson, the running back from Ohio State? Is that if I tell you?
I mean, I'm fine with Rico right now. Now, you may be terrified of him staying healthy, but you got to tell me someone's got Bijan traits in order to make me take one that early now.
Even in the second round?
Yes.
With Travion Henderson? So
I don't know Travion Henderson's game.
So I believe...
Scatterboo, baby.
Hell no.
Not in the second. He'd be like fourth or fifth.
No, not in fourth.
He would be signing Scataboo.
I got Hunter Lipke already.
Yeah, Hunter Lipke.
He'll go undrafted.
He won't go undrafted.
Yes, he will. Here's the thing. So if you were to actually take... I'm telling you...
What you got to learn is to punish him with bets when he does this.
All right, but in general, I'm not punished with the draft. My calls have been generally pretty correct in terms of where guys are going to go.
Okay. I think I've seen him like top 140.
People are stupid, yeah. So if you look at where they would be drafting Travion Henderson, he might be making $1.5 million, $2 million a year on average is what his contract would be. Resigning Rico Dowdle might be 5 or 6.
Yeah.
Okay. Draft the next guy. Leave it for the next back.
That's right.
Velo, the belt here on DFW Sports Station. Final hour of the Tolo Tuesday edition. Ohio State has their championship. Is the next one the Longhorns to lose? College football kegger after the natty is next.